Hello, everybody, and welcome to Skewed and Reviewed. I'm your host, Gareth von Kallenbach, and this is our Skewed cast for June. Hard to believe we're in 2013 June already. And with me is Justin from Outpost AVP. Hey, Justin, we got a crazy schedule right now because we're in E3 prep, and this is why we're doing our E3 preview show. And we have a lot of the staff out covering a lot of movies tonight. And we also have people doing prep for E3, so we're going to be introducing a new format, similar to what I do with our shows when we appear on KISW-FM. Rather than go for an hour and 15, hour and 20-minute show, we're going to break it down to 30, 35-minute shows, but instead of giving you one big show a month, we're going to break it down and try to give you 3 to 4 shows a month so we can stay a little fresher and also be more considerate of your time. For those of you who don't know, I'm Gareth. As I said, I'm the creator of Skewed and Reviewed, also our site Skewed.net, as well as Skewed and Reviewed the magazine, and I'm here on KISW.com. Our sites are in a real state of disarray at the moment. We have a cyber attack, but we are in the process of redoing everything, upgrading some features, as well as installing new themes and new security. So the content's all there. It's just the navigation, search, and the themes doesn't look very pretty. It's in a basic state, but we'll be back up and running in no time. Anyway, so what we're going to do is we are going to talk about E3, and as we're recording this, we're about 4 days away from heading off to Los Angeles to go to the E3 Expo and do recording. We'll be doing a follow-up show after it. I'll also be doing a follow-up show next Friday. We're recording it Thursday. It's airing Friday on KISW-FM. So I'm literally going to be live from the floor. We're going to record and talk about what we saw, what's really blowing us away, and that sort of thing. For right now, what we're going to talk about is what we're looking forward to seeing, what we kind of hope to see, what we know we're going to see, and what our thoughts on it. And Justin will be offering a lot of good opinion on this. He's been gaming for ages, as have I. So, Justin, let's talk about the big thing at E3. Yes, it's going to be a lot of games. Yes, it's going to be a lot of text, a lot of mobile stuff coming. But there are two things that everybody is going to be talking about. All the eyes are on them. Monday, they start their conferences. Why don't you lead us off? What are we talking about here?
We're talking about the consoles, of course. It's Sony and Microsoft. But I wouldn't really forget about Nintendo either. They're going to do their own little thing on Tuesday, so that'll be interesting as well. But I think everyone's watching Sony and Microsoft because they just announced their two consoles. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of frustrations, I guess, with especially in Microsoft's case. But the really interesting thing is that supposedly they're going to be focusing both on the games. And one thing I think is very interesting about both of their strategies this time around, instead of spending an entire E3 Expo just coming out with the hardware and explaining all their new features and stuff, they did it beforehand so that they can focus their E3 on just games, hopefully. So we'll see what kind of stuff they announce, if you know who gets the exclusives and you know where the chips fall and that sort of thing.
And this has been a very, very interesting one. We did an article on it. I personally believe that a lot of people, especially Microsoft, did not expect Sony to announce the PlayStation 4 in February. And as a result, also did not expect them to be able to have it assumably ready to go in the market by, you know, November or December. As a result, I think in some cases it kind of threw them into a I don't want to say a catch-up mode, but maybe a hurry-up mode, and that they perhaps had to tip their hand on the Xbox One sooner than they were originally planning to. Because let's be honest, I think, as you hit the nail on the head, they both expected the competition to announce the new consoles at E3. And I think when Sony went and announced the PS4 already, they got all this momentum from the online community. I think Microsoft was basically forced to come forward a lot sooner than they had originally anticipated. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, I definitely can see that, where Microsoft, they did not expect to do this. That's why they were several months behind, that they kind of threw this together. And I can see that, because there's a ton of things that people were asking them about, and they're really vague. And they're saying, oh, we'll tell you guys about that later, which kind of sends the signal that they're kind of rushing. They're unsure. Because usually, if you're going to announce something this big, you need to know everything about it. Like, you need to know every facet, everything about your console and how it's going to work. And it doesn't seem like Microsoft's exactly there yet, which is where a lot of the frustration is. But even then, like, this console generation is going to be really interesting because for the first time, there's a lot of things that that people aren't liking about what they hear. In the past, usually, you know, when the PS3 was announced, it was, well, there was some frustration about its cost. But in terms of how it operated, people were blown away by its graphics. People were blown away by, you know, the new things that you could do with it. It was a Blu-ray player, you know, what have you. But this is the first time that all these new consoles have been announced, and there's real frustration out there over some of the feature decisions that both of these companies have made.
Right, and one thing that's very interesting is that there's a site that is claiming that the Microsoft presentation for the Xbox One was essentially staged. They pointed out, too, that when they were showing how you could change between gameplay, television and other features with a simple voice command through the new Kinect, they kept showing the Price is Right. Well, somebody brought up, you know, that wasn't the episode of the Price is Right that was airing that day, so obviously they were kind of using footage and perhaps somebody was changing it. They claimed that they had a hands-on and that it didn't change over that quickly. There was some static involved with it. And so, you know, now the allegations are coming out that, again, you know, leading credence to what you said, the whole thing was rushed, that they were showing features that are not going to be indicative of what the average person may find when they go to put the system up, and so on and so forth. But, you know, for me, all that being said, it's all about the games. You know, I'm not impressed with essentially a smart DVR. You know, I can watch football, I can get my fantasy football stats, I can do all that on a laptop or a PC, and, you know, in some ways, even your tablets can do all of this. I want to play games, and I need, you know, as I brought up, I need something more than a new Gears of War and a new Halo to make me excited about the system, because if these games are going to be, as we pointed out, stuff we're going to talk about later, if they're going to be available for the PS4, for the PS3, and the PC, why should I invest the money in getting the Xbox One? You know, especially when Microsoft is saying, well, we, you know, like, for example, they came out and they said, well, we've invested over $1 billion in gaming development for games for the Xbox One, and we're going to have 15 exclusives announced. And while that sounds like an impressive figure, I had somebody, you know, tell me, that doesn't take into account advertising. That doesn't take into account kind of like the agreements they have with Activision, where when they show a new Call of Duty game, even though it's coming out for other platforms, it always rolls with the Xbox logo. It doesn't take into account, you know, where they pay to have the map packs come out on their system 30 days or so before it comes out to, you know, other systems. And I look at it and go, some of these big name titles are $80 to $100 million plus. If you slice that amongst 15 titles, that $1 billion goes really quick. So again, the question is, you may have 15 exclusives, but how many of them are going to be A-plus, straight-of-the-line, you know, games that we're actually going to be excited about playing?
That, and you don't know how many of those 15 titles, like how long they're going to be exclusives. I mean, both of these companies are playing a very dangerous game, and that's, one, they're surely going to lose money per box, because if you just do the simple math, there's no way you can put that kind of hardware in a box. Even if you're buying directly from the manufacturer, there's no way you're going to put that much money into one box with all those features and all, you know, the powerhouses that these systems are, and not lose money per box. So, I mean, they have to make it up in software. And that said, you have pushback from publishers. They don't want to do exclusives because, one, you're launching a new platform, and there's no player base at start. It's zero. So, you know, it's really risky for these publishers to put all of their money into a AAA title and put it on as a launch title exclusively on the system. You know, down the line, eventually, every exclusive becomes multi-platform.
Well, exactly. Just ask Ubisoft and Zombie U for the Wii U. You think they would love to have a PC version of that right now, or at least have versions coming for the two new consoles?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right, but, and... Oh, go ahead.
But, yeah, I mean, like, I feel like Nintendo has a good... I mean, they're in a really bad spot right now, because the Wii U is not selling well. Everyone knows that. I mean, we don't really have to go into that. But at the same time, they play it a little safer. They don't lose money per box, so they break even. And that said, they have a really strong first-party lineup. They have a year down. They have a year in the pipe for first-party games that they can use to push the Wii U. While the other two, they have much more powerful machines, and they're probably going to sell very well. But at the same time, Microsoft and Sony rely so much on exclusives from third parties that, you know, they have to fight with these third parties to keep those titles exclusive for as long as possible.
You know, and it's funny you say that, because here's some interesting little side effects. First, quick side note on Nintendo. You remember that mobile van tour they did across the country? We went and saw the one when they came into town through Phoenix?
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of talk about them not having the big, you know, Tuesday morning conference at the Nokia Theater right before the doors open at E3 like they've normally done this year. They apparently are going to have a van tour in the vicinity of downtown Disney showing off the Wii U and the games while this E3 stuff is going on. And I thought, you know, it's kind of odd. Yes, you're going to have your booth at E3, but here you are going to be about 35, 40 miles away, you know, pumping the Nintendo to, let's be honest, the family audience at Disneyland
right. While
this whole thing is going on. And the flip side of it is I've talked to a couple developers, and, you know, obviously they can't give out their names and companies and stuff like that. You got to protect the privacy. They've told me that both consoles are extremely impressive. They said, however, from a straight standpoint, they said the PS4 is a better console. And what they told us is 50% faster in the power, DDR5 RAM as opposed to DDR3. And they said, unlike the PS3, it is incredibly easy to code for, and the developers absolutely love it. They said the designers are doing cartwheels over it because you've got all this power, you've got all these features, but yet it is so easy to create for. They said it really allows them to take some chances to really push the envelopes. And they said, unlike the PS3 games that, you know, took 4 to 5 years before they started coming. I mean, we got The Last of Us coming out very soon, which is getting rave reviews because it is finally really pushing what the PS3 is capable of doing. And so that's why when you see the footage for things like Killzone, the new Infamous, you see some of the other games that are coming for the PS4, you can get an idea of just a little more versatility. And from what we're hearing, a lot of companies are saying that they're just finding it easier to work with Sony in terms of entering into agreements, because you're right. As a developer, why would you want to limit your audience and say, you know what, you know, why will I take a third to half of what my potential audience would be by locking into one system? The only way you do that is if they grease your palms with some ungodly amounts of money to make it worth your while.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to do that, you better make darn sure you have a frontline title that essentially, I would say, 70 to 80% of all owners of that console are going to want to go out and have.
Exactly.
So it's going to be interesting to play it out. So let's move away from the consoles for a minute, because we have stuff that's, you know, obviously we know what's coming for the PS4. Let's talk about some of the other things that have already been announced, some that haven't been announced, things that we're going to have a look at. And let's start off with Monday. And Electronic Arts is going to be doing their big, you know, free Doors Opening Tuesday special. And they're going to talk about, you know, Madden. They're going to talk about FIFA. They're going to talk about Battlefield 4. But they raised a lot of eyebrows with the recent revelation of something else they're going to be showing. So what can you tell us about that?
Star Wars. Everyone knows that they just bought Star Wars, the Star Wars franchise. Well, not the entire franchise, obviously. They're not making the movies, but
they have the distribution rights, but they have the development rights for the games, basically.
Yes. So EA, not everyone's favorite publisher, but, you know, I honestly have to say that I think EA buying Star Wars is probably the best thing that happened to Star Wars games in a long time, because, quite frankly, LucasArts was not doing all that much with it in the past few years. I mean, it's really sad to see them go, but I think if you just, you know, kind of think a little bit about what EA could do with that license in terms of Battlefront 3, everyone wanted to see it. Or was it Battlefront 4 that was being made? I can't remember what the last one was. I think it was 3.
Three.
But either way, Battlefront in the hands of DICE would be perfect. Or the 1313 game that blew everyone away last E3, put that in the hands
so
of
good.
Visceral.
It looked amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
And see, and it's funny that you mention that, because, you know, for clarification, it's a very interesting thing. Disney still owns LucasArts. Disney still is technically the holder. EA has the exclusive rights to do this, but here's the interesting thing. How much is Disney going to be involved? My take is, since it's their property and the new films and the TV shows are coming, they're going to be pretty hands-on. So this is going to be a situation where EA basically has to make sure Disney is happy with the finished products. And like you said, we know for sure, we already know Visceral, and we already know DICE are going to be involved in the new games. Now, if you look at DICE here, they do the shooters, they do the Battlefield series. You know, you got the Frostbite 2 engine. So a lot of people say, is this going to be Star Wars Assault? Is this going to be Battlefront 3? I think what we can safely say is it's going to be some kind of 3D shooter built on the Frostbite 2 engine, which essentially, for lack of a better phrase, would be a Battlefield, Star Wars game. Visceral, who do the Dead Space games, the survival horror games. This is where everybody's really interested. They apparently are doing one of the other games. So, of course, I've heard everybody saying, well, it's got to be 1313. They put so much into it. I've always said, the moment I heard Disney was going to acquire Lucasfilm, I don't know if they're going to be so willing to do a mature-rated Star Wars game, especially when they're developing new product. But, God, that's such an intriguing concept. I'm kind of wondering if they've got a curveball for us, and if they might say, oh, yeah, 1313 still being looked at. However, here's the new Star Wars shooter game, and here's something else that we've never even thought of. Because I think they might announce more than two games. I really do.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I don't think it'll be a while before we see a lot of these Star Wars games come to fruition under EA, because, I mean, they just bought it. But at E3, obviously, they'll have more detail, which is good.
Yeah, I would think, I'm just, you know, grandstanding here, I would guess Christmas 2014 would probably be the earliest you could see something, and I would think probably 2015 is more likely, because that's when J.J. Abrams is going to have Episode 7 out in theaters, so what better way to, you know, build up the anticipation of the new Star Wars film by having a series or one or two high-quality Star Wars games released ahead of time.
Right.
So, that'll be interesting. What else is on the agenda for E3? I mean, I know it's so hard. You're trying to shoehorn this gigantic gaming expo into a few moments, and I always feel bad because there's always so much you could cover. We could sit here all day and discuss every single company, every single booth that's going to be there, and still not hit it on the head. So we're kind of trying to hit up the ones that we think are going to be the really big deals, but there's always, you know, the joy of the after E3 shows when you talk about, wow, I didn't even know about X, Y, and Z, but it absolutely blew me away. So what's another one that's really high on the radar for everybody to keep an eye out for?
For me personally, I'm going to say Bethesda is probably at the top, or near the top of my list, because they've got a stellar lineup as to what they're showing at E3. We've got, what's that new one? The Evil Within. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about this one because it's Shinji Mikami's new game, the guy who created Resident Evil, and he's the one who made Resident Evil 4, which is hands down one of my favorite games ever. And it looks a lot like Resident Evil 4. It looks like it's borrowing a lot from it. It looks like it's running on a great engine. It's running on the id Tech 5 engine, except slightly modded. They've got some great people working on it, and it just looks like a great game.
Yeah, and I think the great thing about them is they are my Wednesday morning appointment. They are actually my very first thing Wednesday morning, so the moment they open up the gates, I'm zipping right over to their booth. And not only do I love you know, their presentation, because they really do a nice mix. They sit you down in the theater, they show you the stuff, but they've also promised us some hands-on time. And they've said they're going to let us play Wolfenstein The New Order, they're going to let us play The Elder Scrolls Online, they're going to show The Evil Within, and of course, you know, there's always, you know, a surprise or two that you always wonder about. So I'm really interested to see what these games look like. I'm really anxious to, you know, get my hands on them and play them, because you talk about such an extreme. You have your horror game, you have your, you know, RPG online game, and then you have your straight-up shooter, but also built on the id Tech engine, which, as anyone remembers from Rage, was custom-built to not only do 3D shooting, but also to do vehicular, you know, driving combat, that sort of thing. And the trailers, we just posted one today for the new Wolfenstein, is very heavy on showing mechs and stuff, so you kind of wonder, is there going to be a little element of Mech Warrior Online and 3D shooter in this? So, you know, we'll know more, but really exciting times here.
Yeah, definitely.
And another one that I'm really interested in is we're going to get to see Activision, and of course, Activision is, you know, they're definitely big players in this. They have a gigantic booth. They always draw, because they always have a new Call of Duty to talk about, and this year's no exception. You've got Call of Duty Ghosts, which is built on a brand new engine. It's going to have a whole new storyline. It has all these new features, such as destructible environments in a multiplayer setting. They're going to have a, you know, more dynamic storyline that was written by an Academy Award-winning screenwriter. You have all these, you know, people going, what's it going to look like with the new engine? How is it going to play on the new consoles? You know, right there, because in addition to PC, Xbox 360, PS3, it's also going to be available for the new consoles. So it's, you know, a lot of people are looking at this. How is the new engine going to play out? I was very impressed that they were able to put a new engine through development. But not just that. They're also going to be showing off one of the more interesting things, and I'm very curious to see how the people are going to respond to seeing Diablo 3 on consoles. And so, you know, this is one of the things that they've told us is going to be available. And, oh yeah, there's this thing from the maker of Halo, some little game you may have heard of called Destiny, that is going to be there. And boom, right there, hands-on, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is just like, wow, you know, that's the big answer. Here's Destiny. Here's the new 10-year franchise. What they've shown us now has looked phenomenal. But this is the time that you put all your cards on the table, or at least, not if not all of them, you put a very interesting trump card on the table. Can't wait to see what they have coming out.
Oh yeah, I think Destiny for me is that's the one to watch, because the potential in that, like, they are shooting for the stars with that game.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing is, this is what I find so interesting. We get these invites sent to us, and some of them are very cryptic. Well, they'll say, you know, hey, we're this company, come on by and see what we've got to offer. That's it. Others will be a little more willing to say, hey, you know what, come on by, this is what we're going to show off. Others will say, come on by, we'll show you this, and we may have a few surprise titles. There are things out there, like, for example, I understand 2K Games is going to be showing off the next chapter of Borderlands 2, so it'll be very, you know, interesting to see how that comes out. There's always some surprises at E3, though. That's the beauty of it. There are things that you do not expect. There are smaller companies, or maybe developers and publishers, that all of a sudden are, boom, here they are. You know, we had one brought up to our attention, where Zombie Studios has got a new shooter that's coming for the PS4. They're going to be showing this all off. So really, really interested to see, you know, what happens. And then, of course, by contrast, there's a lot of pressure here. Let's talk about, you know, THQ. Unfortunately, they are no more. Their titles have been, you know, moved around through different publishers. Well, Sega's going to be here we're going, here's Company of Heroes 2. We've delayed it a little bit to, you know, make sure we get it out properly, but they're going to be showing it off. And they also have South Park and Stick of Truth, mm-hmm. which they're going to be showing off. So this is kind of a, in essence, you know, hey, old titles finding new homes. Here's their chance to show people that, yes, they're in good hands here. And take them out of this limbo category of, are they going to be okay? What's going to happen with them at a new developer? And get people interested in them all again.
Yeah.
So, very, very interesting stuff here. And, of course, you know, there's, as I said, there's always stuff that you do not even think about. So, you know, bottom line, if you were to have to take the consoles off the table, if you had to pick one product right now, other than the consoles, which one would you say is the one to, or the one or two things to watch out for at this show?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a real tough one.
Yeah, I kicked that one around all day today, that's for sure.
Let's see, if I had to choose one or two. I've always been a huge fan of Metal Gear. I don't know if they're going to show much on Metal Gear Solid 5 in terms of it playing. I mean, today they just announced Kiefer Sutherland is voice of Snake, which is kind of cool. But if they do show that game actually playing, I would want to go see that. As far as other games, though, I'm going to say, I'm probably going to go to the Bethesda booth, and I'll probably check out Elder Scrolls Online or The Evil Within.
Yeah, and see, and that's kind of where I go back and forth. Right now, being a fan of shooters, I'm leaning heavily toward Destiny and the new Call of Duty. I enjoy the Call of Duty games very much, but I got to say, I'm really, really excited about some of these things like Watch Dogs. And some of these, you know, the PS4 titles and, you know, some of the things. And, you know, here's Banfuse, the new, you know, music game. And there's a part of me that says, okay, are we done to death with Guitar Hero? Are we done to death with Rock Band and that sort of thing? Do we need another music game? But then there's a part of me saying, yeah, if it's done right, absolutely. And, you know, let's not rule out EA. They always, always have some great surprises. I mean, don't forget Ubisoft. You know, we haven't even mentioned the latest Assassin's Creed, Black Flag, which is going to be there. And, you know, that is bound to definitely draw a lot of interest. I'm very interested to see what else Ubisoft has in store. I'm always very curious to see what 2K has in store. You know, haven't heard that they're going to be there, but there's always that, you know, little noise in the background going, is this the time that we're going to hear something from Valve about another Half-Life or another product? You know, Dying Light, is it going to be there? The new zombie survival game. So this is, you know, it's just the beautiful time of year to really enjoy this. And we haven't even begun to talk about some of the wonderful Warner Brother games like the new Batman, like Arkham Origin. Are we going to hear anything about, you know, Infinity and some of these other titles that are out there? And, you know, that's the great thing about it. You get in the door, and here are these massive halls, and there's two of them connected to all sorts of supporting hallways. And the thing is, people don't really realize that when you go to E3, since it is in L.A., a lot of these booths are done up like theatrical sets, and there's these gigantic billboards that are, you know, several feet long. And there's all these theatrical sets. There's people in costume and entertainment, and it's like, oh wow. And you sit there and you look at something and you're like, oh my god, this is amazing, I could spend all day here. And then you turn your head, and as far as the eye can see, it's just one after the other after the other after the other, and you realize that's only one of two halls. And
yeah,
it's like, oh my god. And you know, sometimes some of the smaller booths have some of the best stuff, and that's always the beauty of it, is that you always are like, around every corner there is a new surprise and a new discovery, and so really waiting to see how that plays out. Well, I think that's going to be it for our time for our first show in the new shortened format. We're going to have another one for you next week, as well as our E3 wrap-up that we'll have online. And so for now, please check us out at sknr.net. We will be having the site updated very soon. We're in the process of doing that. And if you would like to get involved with any of the sponsorship programs, get ads or anything like that, the information is available on the page, how you can basically get some nice support and some ads essentially like PBS being a friend of the show. Until next time, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you later.